Hello all, it is Thursday, May 2nd. This is the Bobby Bites Podcast, episode 11. You gotta get the folds just right. Yes indeed, fold it just right. That is that's the optimal question there. Talking about Samsung's Galaxy Fold, seems like there's been some issues with the review units that were sent out. I know this has been widely covered in the press and across the internet. People have been talking about it. There was, of course, the screen protector portion of the screen that wasn't supposed to be removed, and then the other portion was some anomalies around maybe dust or some other article getting underneath the screen and causing it to bulge and break. You know, this goes back to the fact that I have on previous podcasts mentioned that I was a big fan of the folding screen concepts, and I think this is very much a future form factor. I think we've really, really got to look at this as a possible, really, really nice form factor to have. But as I also mentioned on a previous podcast, they have to get it right. You cannot under-engineer this. This has to be done almost flawlessly. And in the way that Samsung did it, you know, looking at it, there was a nice small fold, you know, just a small curve in the screen, and there was a little bit of a gap there where they're folding the screen together utilizing that little two-part hinge. But again, you know, I've said this before, I think that the hinge from the Surface Book, that gap that the Surface Book has, would probably have been a better solution for this, so that you have the multi-section hinge with the nice C shape there, so that you've got enough of a gap in the screen so that it doesn't create a crease on itself when it folds in. And I know a lot of folks may not like that form factor, or I have heard, you know, complaints about the Surface Book in that regard, but I happen to like it. I think it adds a nice unique look to it, you know. And again, if Samsung has to re-engineer this, I really think that they will do some work to it, and I think they'll get it out. But I think their anticipation of the market is correct. I think they're in the right ballpark. I think that they wanted to be first, and they wanted to get their device out there and get it to the market first and beat all the competition, basically, because that's their competitive nature, and I understand that. But there again, it seems like this may have been tested in a very clean environment, a very, very sterile, very, very controlled environment. And once it got out into the real world, you know, things happen. People are a lot rougher with devices than you would imagine. And you know, I'm guilty of this myself. You should see the case on my phone. It looks like it's been through a war zone. And some of us, you know, some of us like that. I like that worn, weathered look. You know, it kind of reminds me of, you know, of the aesthetic of Star Wars or something like that. But that's your own personal preference. But that also goes to show that we're really rough on our devices, and something like this that's delicate may not play very well in that environment. So there again, Samsung, I applaud you guys for getting it out. I really hope that you are able to work the engineering out on this. Again, my advice would be to, you know, re-engineer that hinge, open that up just a hair, just so that the screen doesn't fold in on itself, because the last thing I want to see on a foldable, and I love this form factor, but the last thing I want to see is a crease in the screen. I do not think that's attractive. I don't think that looks very good. And to touch it, you know, to touch on a couple of other form factors, you know, the Huawei's got the form factor that's slightly different. I think a couple of others, maybe it might have been Xiaomi that showed off another version, but folding in the other direction, I don't know that that's the solution, because I really do think that if you fold the screen in on itself so that it protects the screen, the folding screen, I think that's a better solution than having it exposed all the time by being folded outward. You know, that being said, the other solution would be to utilize two screens, which is the similar to the much, much rumored Microsoft folding devices. If you've read anything about the so-called Andromeda devices or Centaurus devices, that presumably it was two screens that have a nice curve right where they meet together, and the screens kind of curve around, and then the device has a hinge that allows it to fold in both directions so that you could set it up like a laptop or fold it over like a like an A-frame and have someone on either side of the device or fold it flat. Now, again, as I've mentioned before, folding it flat, there has to be a locking or clicking or something that holds it firm in that flat position so that it does not move. That is key if you're going to use this with a stylus or anything like that, which I would really, really like to do because I'm looking for that perfect journal device, as I've mentioned on other podcasts. So I do like the rumored concept that Microsoft has, and I think that would be one viable solution. I think the other viable solution is, again, something that Microsoft has kind of designed without maybe even realizing it. Who knows? But the hinge on the Surface Book, it has just enough gap there around the hinge itself, the hinge mechanism, and those rungs on the hinge so that a folding screen could fold but give enough of a gap so that there's no crease created. The other portion of that was things getting underneath the screen or the screen protector piece being pulled off. I don't know. I know that there was no instructions on that as to not do it, or if there were instructions on people for telling people not to do that, they were ignored. So, you know, knowing that, that's going to be a high failure rate because lots of people will not read if there is a warning saying don't take that off. A lot of people will not read that. And if it does come loose or if the edge of that screen protector comes up, people are going to just naturally try to pull that off. And I think that could cause Samsung a world of headaches. I hope if they do launch this device as is, I do hope they've got a lot of back stock for replacements. That's just that being said, you know, I think that's a big issue that they could face. But there again, you know, I'm glad they're getting the device out there. I'm glad that they're taking a step in this direction because I'm waiting for what to see what other folks do with this. You know, that's still going to be the direction that I think the industry is going. And of course, speaking of Microsoft, everyone knows that the Surface Hub 2S was announced, and it looks like it's off to a great start. I do like this design, even though it's for now, I've heard that it's landscape only in the design. It is still a 2x3 aspect ratio screen, which I like that. But it seems they've partnered with Steelcase to create the stand. The updated version of Windows Core OS, where it's got the new features and the really nice transition from portrait to landscaping that I'm so crazy about that I've mentioned in previous podcasts. That is something that's going to be, I think, coming in a future update. For now, it's going to be running Windows 10. It's going to have Teams for Surface on it, Skype for Business, Whiteboard, Office, and Power BI is going to be on there as well. That's going to be included, so it's going to be running, you know, pretty much close to standard Windows 10. It does look as though it's locked into the landscape mode, and the cameras will be sitting on top. It's going to have Intel UHD 620 graphics. I think that's the standard for the i5 and i7 graphics, you know, that are built into the chips now for Intel. i5 processor, 8 gigs of RAM, 128 gig SSD. It's going to be the standard configuration. Screen is going to be a PixelSense 3x2 aspect ratio, 3840x2560. So right around a little better than 4K. There's going to be a 4K front-facing camera with a 90-degree viewing angle, auto exposure, up to 30 frames per second recording. The hub pin, or the Surface pin that's going to come with this, is going to be Bluetooth 4.0. And I've read that it is backward compatible with almost all the Surface devices back to the Pro 3. Now, I don't know if it'll go further than the Pro 3 back, because I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that was a different digitizer technology. I believe they were using they were not using Intrigue at the time. I think they were using the Wacom technology. So I believe that digitizer has changed prior to the Pro 3. Someone can correct me on that. It's going to also have far field microphones, 4K resolution. You know, the screen, of course, is 4K resolution. I think I've already said that. Sorry for the repeat. And, of course, a battery pack for taking it outside if you just need to get that screen and just pull it outside and do some do some work in the yard. You know, maybe have a little meeting around the garden or something like that. I think it's going to be about an hour or so battery life on that. But looking at design, it's great. And, of course, there's the larger version. I think it's the 85-inch version of the screen coming soon. And then there's going to be the fact that this is a modular design that you'll be able to hopefully take the PC portion away from the screen and update it. There's also talk of them selling just the screen itself without the PC built in, so that you'll have just this massive hub screen, which is really cool. The camera itself is separate, so it's a USB plug on the camera, so you could actually take that off. It's got a little magnet on there that holds the camera on, and of course the pin is separate. So great device. I'm looking forward to seeing this. You won't see this in the normal sales channels. I mean, this is going to be in the enterprise channel, the business channel, something like that. So if you have a Microsoft business rep or something that you work through, or a partner that you work through, then you should be able to get your hands on one of these if you are so inclined. Also, as everyone knows, the Edge browser has been updated to now run on Chromium, and it works well. There have been tons and tons of reviews on this online, so I'm not going to really add anything to this. Just download it, give it a try, see what you think. If you guys have any feedback for me or any comments or remarks about Edge with Chrome, just let me know. I think this is, you know, due to the standards, due to the plugins, due to the fact that Chromium is so pervasive, and I think it's a great move for Microsoft. You know, it's gonna lead into my next topic, which is gonna be Build 2019 coming up May 6th through the 8th, and speculation time. So what's going to be at Build? Of course, you know, being developer focused, I know we're going to see updates. We'll see updates to Windows 10, of course. We'll see where everything is going with the new features. I don't think, and I have heard this from quite a few different people that are very, very, very well versed in Microsoft and know way more than I do and have a lot more contacts at Microsoft than I do, that Windows, the so-called Windows Lite, or the new version of Windows that doesn't have all of the legacy support built in, will not be shown at Build this year. I'm very disappointed at that. I would love to have saw it. I do want them to get it right, though. And I'm really, you know, just from my personal thoughts here, I don't really like the idea of them calling it Windows Lite. That implies that it's a lesser or a lower down version or a light version of Windows, when in fact it's probably going to be more like a racy version of Windows. You know, this is going to be the faster, cleaner, less legacy support. You know, boot up times will be much faster. It'll be, you know, a lot actually lighter as an OS. So I'm not sure that the name, the connotation works. I would like to see it called something else. And I don't know. You know, just out there, you know, you could even call it Windows Edge, you know, because it's based, you know, based around the whole idea of web standards and you know, the new Windows Core, which is supposed to be much lighter and much more future looking. So I don't really know what they're going to call it. I don't know that Lite works all that well, because we've had Windows S, we've had Windows RT. RT was a very, you know, a very basic version of Windows, and it had a lot of limitations. Windows S, the same in regards, but it was also an attempt to be a lighter, faster, you know, easier to manage version of Windows, and easier for customers to just turn on and set up and get into business kind of quickly, kind of in that whole vein of the Chrome OS or Chromebooks. And I think that's where Microsoft wants to go with this. Of course, I'm sure they do. But for me, I personally would like to see this be something that would be considered just the newer, you know, the updated, the more modern version of Windows, so that when it does come out and it's on either an ARM-based device or the new Intel-based devices, and it's super fast, and it is going to compete with Chromebooks, because it'll be, you know, it'll have that same experience. In other words, you'll be able to just turn it on and just get stuff done. I mean, that's what I use my Chromebook for. I turn it on and I just get things done, because it's quick, it's dirty, it's there's no frills. But with that being said, now, Windows Lite, from what I understand and what I've heard, being Windows Core, could be a lot more powerful than just your standard Chrome OS. It could be, you know, it's still going to have the ability to have complete apps or programs running. It's still going to have a lot of the stuff in there that you will need as far as, you know, productivity and creativity and being a professional. So I don't see this as a limit to the operating system. I see this as a newer design so that you can add some of the more customized things to this. So I would love to see, like I was saying before, the transitions that you see on the hub, on that hub video where, you know, the screen and the background all kind of look really cool when they transition from landscape to portrait, stuff like that. So this fluid animation, these fluid physics in the UI, this beautiful translucencies, and the fluent design language, I think, is made for this. So it's going to be really exciting to see where they're going to take this, and having it, not have it show up at build and not have any new Surface hardware show up at build was really going to be, you know, really disappointing if they don't do something or at least talk about it in some way or hint about it in some way, because I know there's some really cool stuff coming, and I really can't wait to see it. And as I was mentioning earlier, the idea of having two screens folding, when I was talking about the Samsung Galaxy Fold issue, if Microsoft does have this, you know, this theoretical rumored device working in the wings as a Surface device, and it does eventually show up, this is going to be a beautiful, beautiful device to play with and to kind of show off as that ultimate little, like, journal device like I was talking about before. I do hope they keep the 4x3 aspect ratio, though. I'm really not a fan of 16x9 on pretty much anything. It's just doesn't seem as usable as 4:3 to me. Even on a tablet, I like 4:3. So it's, again, personal preference. So we'll see. Well, let's see what happens at build. It's just next week, May 6th through the 8th. So it will not be long, and we'll be able to see if there's anything there. Now, I will say, I have heard that that there are a few things that may make an appearance there as well. There's going to be some Xbox news, I believe, maybe something about, you know, from the development side of Xbox. Not 100% sure on that. I can't validate it, and so I don't really want to say exactly what. But also, I would like to see some kind of hardware, something from Microsoft, and I really don't know, you know, what they could, if there's not going to be any Surface announcements per se as far as overall main Surface hardware, at least some peripherals. You know, I'd love to see the rumored in-ear earbuds that people have been speculating about and have been rumored for a while. I love the Surface, you know, the Surface headphones. Those are really great, and they work really well, and the noise canceling portion of that is just really nice to have, especially on a plane or in a busy office. But I would love to see some earbuds from Microsoft. I'd like to see what the design of those looks like, especially in keeping with the Surface team's design aesthetic. I will say, though, just from a personal preference, I'd like to see the darker colors. If you've got if you look at the I guess the black or the I don't know what they're calling the color. It's kind of like the space gray on the iPads. But if you look at the darker colored Surface Pro, I would love to see that on the Surface headphones and on the new earbuds going forward. I'd love to see a choice of colors on those things, because I think that would be great to have everything matched up. And the same as with the type covers and the Alcantara covering, I would love to see some more colors in that, and, you know, some just give us some choices. You know, I mean, the burgundy is nice and the dark blue is nice, but I'd love to see a few options. You know, freshen it up for spring, guys. You know, I don't know that they're going to do anything like that, but you know, it'd be nice. And now on to Google I/O 2019. Same week, day after Microsoft's keynote, on May 7th through the 9th, Google I/O is going to happen. So, what's going to be new? Pixel 3a, rumored devices, some really, 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 really light shade of purple that I saw. That's interesting. Let's hope they've fixed the hardware issues around the Pixel. Interestingly, the design looks very similar based on what I've saw as the 3. I'd like to see a 4. Honestly, I want to see what's new. I want to see a new design shape from Google. I want to see a new concept, something else. I know that, you know, we've been talking a lot about folding screens, and there's absolutely no rumors that Google is going to do a folding screen Pixel, none whatsoever. This is just me talking. I know that folding screen functionality is going to be built into the next version of Android. So with that being said, will Google ever do their own folding screen? Maybe in the future, who knows? But that just says they're going to at least put it in the OS. So we'll have some interesting devices. I would love to see, honestly, just something just surprising from Google. I mean, we know what the Pixels look like. We know the design direction. We know what the slate looks like in the Pixel book. So we know what the design aesthetic that Google has been utilizing so far looks like. And, you know, I really kind of, honestly, I kind of miss some of the older Nexus designs. I love the colors that Google's using, these really light pastels and these really nice, friendly colors that are very, very different, very, very unique and out there, which is really nice. It's a differentiator for sure. But I would love to see something else on the design that makes them even friendlier and nicer. You know, you think about the Pixel design, it's kind of a soft, smooth, you know, flowing design. I would love to see them get rid of that little glossy strip on the back of all the Pixel devices. Just make it matte. Make it blend in with the rest of the device. It just doesn't need to be there. And that, again, is subjective and it's personal preference. But, you know, I've been around for a while and I'm a design guy. So it's just one of my things. I like to keep it simple. And I like the idea of the friendly design that Google kind of goes for. I do wish that it was a little more mature, especially if you look at the other side of the device and you look at Android itself. Material design is okay, but looking at something like Fluent Design and looking at the slight differences there, and then looking at where Mac is with OS X, you know, you've got some room there to kind of mix things up a little bit, and something other than just dark mode. I mean, we can do anything just about with Android. Android is fairly open. I mean, you can theme it, you can change the icons, you can change the shape, you can change the size, you can do widgets, you can do all these things with Android. But the overall thing that people do for the most part is just leave it stock. You know, either you have Samsung's version of Android or LG's version of Android or whoever's, and not a lot of people really, you know, theme as much as I'd like to believe. I know that I don't see a lot of it on the street now. When I have an Android device in my hand, I do. I change everything out to the ninth degree, you know, to just tweak it to my personal taste. And that's just something I've always done all the way back, literally all the way back to the Palm devices. So, you know, it is subjective. It is personal preference. But I was never one to like the overall really gaudy and, you know, out there avant-garde, you know, themed packs that some of these things have had. I just like to keep it simple and uncluttered. You know, I've always liked the ability to put the icons in a folder and get them as far away from my home screen as possible. You know, that's just personal preference. So I do like interactive and moving wallpapers and things like that, and you know, physics-based movements, like if you're going to move something from page to page, you know, show the page transition, you know, beautiful animations when you shift from landscape to portrait, stuff like that. I really like those type things, but I also like for it to be super simple and not cluttered. I like clean and beautiful and mature and modern, and that's what I'm hoping that you can at least move toward and start with eventually on some of these things. Like I've mentioned before, I think iOS is in need of a you know, a makeover. I think Google Android is, you know, even though you can theme it and you can do pretty much what you want with it, I think that there are some room there to kind of modernize and make the overall base appearance or the stock appearance a little more mature. And I think that you'll have a lot of that. Even Microsoft, I think, looking at Windows 10, it just keeps maturing and looking a little better and a little better. And I think that some of the things that I've saw, especially like looking again back to the Surface Hub 2, when you were looking at that interface that they had on the design video that came out when the device was first mentioned, it's really quite beautiful and it's very simple and very clean, and I like that. I like to see a photograph of the people that I'm interacting with, you know, on the screen as an icon. I like to see very clean, simple widgets that are functional. Like if you have an icon that is just an icon, but it's also, if you make it larger, it does more. Basically, the icons themselves could become the widgets or the app based on the size of the icon. So as you make it bigger on the screen, it's more functional. It has more functions. Kind of like if you take the complications from an Apple Watch and you look at those complications, you add those to a specific screen, and you've got these features based on the specific size of the screen. So as you make that larger, or that Windows or that icon becomes a window, it becomes larger, it becomes more functional, it opens up to become a widget, and then you make it bigger and it goes into full app mode. And that could be done dynamically, you know, with however you activate it. So if you were just press on an icon and press and hold, you could, you know, use two finger gesture to make it larger, and if you make it slightly larger, you're going to have a widget. If you just completely open it up, it's going to open up into an app. I think that'd be interesting to see. That's just something that's kind of been in the back of my mind. I've been thinking about for a while. They're right there. A lot of these UIs for the OSs are right there at that functionality. And I think the first one to bring that out is probably going to get a lot of or a large chunk of my bank account. So, what's going to be new at Google I/O this year? Besides the Pixel 3a, rumored Pixel 4s, you know, I'd like to see some more accessories from Google. I'd like to see some updated earpods, something else, just something. I don't really care what. Just surprise me, bring out something cool and interesting and beautiful and playful and all Google. I want to see something, you know. Especially hardware, anything hardware related that's not predicted or anticipated would be nice. So that being said, 1 week away from those things, of course, we've also got WWDC coming up in June. Still have E3 coming up, so there's going to be some new stuff there. I'm not going to talk a lot about Apple this week. I've got a lot of Apple news that I'd like to share, but I'm going to save that for a future podcast. So everyone who has listened this week, again, thank you kindly for tuning in. Thank you for the feedback that I've received so far. Thanks for the comments and the suggestions. I will try to keep the podcast focused and in a timely manner for you guys. And again, thanks for listening. See you soon. Bye-bye.